This morning, we'd like to speak to you . The title this morning is A Wonderful Friend. And if the Lord will permit me, I would like to introduce Jesus. He's my friend. And I find it a real joy to introduce. You know, we introduce people. You know, Tom wanted me to meet his friend. We have visitors. They want me to meet them. I want to introduce you to a wonderful friend that can change your life. And when I heard Sis Anna Doe singing about grace, that's all I am. I'm a work of grace.
Amen.
So it's a work of grace. But when we talk about a wonderful friend, this is very simple. Sunday school was much deeper than what this will be. But Jesus loved and compelled. Jesus loved. Compelled him to die for you. He loved you so much that he died for you. Nobody made him. He did it voluntarily. That's why that I never served in the service, was not able due to my health. But I hold our troops, male and female, up highly.
Amen.
Especially now, this volunteer army. They go on the front line for people like me. Well, Jesus' love compelled him to die. Let me tell you the kind of people that he dies for. In the book of Isaiah, we see here in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all." God tells us what the problem is. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. That simply means that the hell that I would deserve, Christ paid it on the cross. He suffered all the time it would take me to suffer in hell for eternity. That's how much he loved me. I was talking to a person Thursday and they said, "I don't understand that. I don't understand how I need air, but if I don't have it, I sure see the results. I don't understand how one man can die in my place and pay my sin debt." Except it was not just a man, it was the God-man.
Amen.
This man, who in his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now you notice here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, he says, should live unto righteousness. Because I was offended the other night when he said, "You don't have no choice. You name the name of Christ, so you got to serve him." No, I don't. I can pay the penalty. Because God said here, should live unto righteousness. Because he is my Lord and Savior, I should live unto righteousness. That's what righteousness means. Because I'm saved, my choices are to be the right choices based upon the Word of God. Why? Because Jesus' love compelled him to die for me. This Savior who died upon the cross of Calvary was buried into a barred tomb, and 3 days and three nights later he came out of that tomb. He's living today.
Amen.
I don't serve these false gods like Buddha and Mohammed and all of these other make-believe gods. Those guys are still dead. They're still wherever they are. You know, little ashes disintegrated. But my Savior, He's at the right hand of God. He is my lawyer. He is my interceder. He is pleading my case. Every time the devil said, "Did you see him?" Christ said, "I paid for it." God said in Revelation 1:18, He said, "Behold, I am alive forevermore. I am alive forevermore." It means that Christ is alive, He is well, He is interceding, and He is doing all that for me simply because He wanted to. See, I think the problem today is that some professing Christians sort of believe they're doing God a favor. "Hey, God, I showed up this morning. Did you see what I dropped in the offering plate, God?" That's not the God that I serve. The God that I serve is interceding for me. Pleading to God the Father, saying, "I paid His sin debt. He's one of mine." That's exactly what God is saying here in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 when God said, "I am He that liveth and was dead." Was means past tense, was dead. "And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." While you're in Revelation, turn to chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne." I want you to know some words. To him that overcometh will I grant. Will I grant to sit with me. He permitted me. He will permit me. He will permit you, if you're a child of God, to sit with him in his throne. See, you can only sit with him if you're one of his. And there was no way to become one of him until you were born again. You're born again when you hear the Word of God and the Spirit bears witness with that Word. God grants you repentance. He grants you faith. He gives you a desire to love Him, to live for Him, to serve Him, and to put Him first in your life. He does that. What do we got to brag about? Nothing. Simply, as the writer said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." It's me at your throne daily asking God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." See, Jesus' love compels him to die for you. He is living today. And the third point right here is that Jesus knows all about you. I shared this in the prayer room this morning. I was in an establishment. Someone said, brought up something, and I said, hey, I don't have need to know that. Don't want to know that. But I just want to share. Now, if you got a problem with somebody, you go to that person. Don't go to me, because I've got enough things to take care of on my own. I feel that way. I believe it that way. I practice it that way. Now, you want to come to me and talk to me about the Lord? You want to come to me and talk about how you can serve God better? How is there an opening in the church that you can serve God? But don't come to me talking about some other member, because you won't get the reception that you will lack. That's good preaching. Amen. That's good teaching. And that's part of preaching the gospel. Because when God saves you, you become a new creature. Amen? Amen. Jesus knows all about you. Now, I'm sure that Brenda could tell me, Pastor, I know all there is to know about Steve. And Steve would say, Pastor, I know everything there is to know about Brenda. And me being me, I would say, no, you don't. I've lived with my wife 52 years. She simply amazes me sometimes. Where did that come from? You know, but Jesus, he knows everything about Tom Maresco. You know what is shocking? That he still loves him. If you knew everything about me and you can still love me, you're my friend. Why shouldn't I still love you if I knew it? I'm not interested in the past. I'm interested in what are you in Christ today. Is Christ your number one love life? Jesus said in Proverbs 5:21, Proverbs, the 5th chapter and the 21st verse. Proverbs, the 5th chapter. That's what God said. He said here in verse 21, he said, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. All. You know, most people, if we knew everything about that person that God knows about that person, would we still feel the same way? God said in 1 Samuel 16:7, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You know, God looks on the heart. See, sometimes even from the pulpit, and you all have noticed that, you know, you always notice when somebody makes a mistake. You know, I'll call out Romans 9:8 and I'll read in Ephesians 5:4. You know, and you say, where did that come from? Well, You stick with me. When we both get to glory, we'll both be perfect.
Amen.
Now, what I'm simply saying that for, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God knew what I had studied. God knew what you meant. That's a friend, see? You know, sometimes when I have a visit that takes 2 or 3 hours and you feel like when you leave you accomplish nothing, you know, that's, you know, a friend. If you got a friend, you've been blessed. Are we going to let some little silly thing break that friendship up? I'm glad God's not like that, aren't you? Because man looks on the outward. God looks on the heart. Jesus, what you need to know about this friend, he can forgive sin. And he's the only one that can forgive sin. God said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, 1 John 1:9, he said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I underline all. If I understand all, that means everyone. If I confess it. I mean, so if you've dealt with teenagers, you can see them do something. I mean, flat out watch them do it. Then you ask them about it. I didn't do it. Where did it come from? But God sees everything I do. And he still loves me. That's why I call him friend. Isaiah 1:18 talks about, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Jesus, my friend, is powerful. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18 tells us that. All power. That means the devil and all the demons cannot overthrow my Savior. He's all powerful. Now, if he's all powerful, why can't I pray as I did yesterday for Sister Sue's grandchild? And then thank him for what he's going to do. Now, this is an issue with me. If I needed a dollar, and I know Tom had a dollar, but I know he won't let me have it, why would I ask him? I wouldn't. But if I know that God heareth my prayers, now whether he answers it or not the way I want to, when I pray, then I say, thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. And even if he doesn't answer it, it'll be best for me. Now when you understand that, what you understand is a sovereign God. A God that does what he wants to, when he wants to, the way he wants to, and he doesn't consult with nobody. Jesus is all powerful. Matthew 28, 18, you know, he talks about all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Can you really grasp that? If God wanted to, he could touch Mike right now and make him whole. He could touch Sister Brendan, her left arm would be as if it never had anything to it. So when people ask me, Brother Vance, do you believe in divine healing? That's the only healing I believe in. Even the medicine you take, if God doesn't bless it, it won't help. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. See, there's nothing impossible with God. Jesus, you know, this may be hard for you to understand unless you think about it. Jesus seeks your companionship. Think about it now. Jesus seeks your companionship. One of the men prayed in the prayer room this morning about Caitlin said, Lord, hook her up with a good Christian friend. Because there's something in the Bible about if there's two, whatever college student needs is a friend if they're going to stay on campus. The best way is to consider it a job and get you a place off campus. So you only have to mix with them a little bit. I know what some may think. Boy, you're negative. Yeah, I am. I'm very negative about our school system. Thank you. Very negative about our school system. I'm very negative about our college. Yes, I am. Because when you spend $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 send your child to college and some professor gets up there and makes fun of the Savior that saved you. We need to seek good companionship. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. God said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and be and he with me. Now, there's a group of people that reads Revelation 20, and they said that is the heart's door. Your heart don't have a door. He's talking about the church. The church is so weak today that they push God on the outside and they replace him with all their problems, with all their programs, and all of their everything else except the Lord. But he said, and Monroe Baptist Church, behold, I stand at the door. He tells you as a family, I stand at your door. I'll come into your house. I will lead you. I will teach you. I will bless you. I will come in and sup with you. That's one reason I don't eat unless I pray. I want God to sup with me. I want God to eat with me because he was the one that provided that meal. And I want to share that meal with him. He's the one that gave me my family. I want to share my family with the Lord. He's the greatest friend you'll ever have. Amen. So he said, behold, I stand. But he's not going to force his way in. He can. But you know what has ran God out of the church? Worldliness. Programs. Programs without God is ahead of it. Oh, I like to have programs. I like this church to be so busy on Sunday that we have an adult choir and we'd have a junior choir and we'd have a toddler's. That we would have ladies that, and men who would pick out somebody in the hospital, in the nursing home. My wife's aunt, they diagnosed her with Alzheimer's. Got to talk to her. She said, all I want is people to come and visit me. She's in a nursing home. I want people to come and visit me while I can still remember who I am so I can tell them about my Savior. Amen. Why do you think God puts a saved person in a nursing home sometimes? I don't know, but I've got in my mind maybe that nursing home, whatever it is, that they need a little bit of gospel. They need a little bit of seeing that somebody is in their 70s or weak or frail and they're still glorifying God. That's good preaching. I don't care what you say. God saved us for a purpose. Jesus takes away the fear of death and makes life worth living. I mean, he said in John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's in control of your situation. I don't care what it is. I mean, I'm not going into detail. Me and my wife is going through a bunch of bull now. And as she and I talk about it, and I said, you know, we can either talk about it, worry about it, get sick over it, or we can say, Lord, here. Here it is. So I always give every problem a 5 minutes of worry and then I turn that out. Don't want to talk about it no more. Don't want to worry about it no more. I gave it over to the Lord, see? I'm preaching. But it's hard. God said, let not your heart be troubled. Even let it be afraid. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. God does not want me as a Christian to just exist. He wants us to enjoy life. And despite what everybody thinks, you don't have to have a boat full of money to enjoy life. It sure makes it nice if you got the boatload of money. Not in the river. It's right there beside your door with a guard on it. But happiness comes from God.
Amen.
God said in John 10:10, I come that they might have life and that they may have it what? Abundantly. Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world.
Amen.
He promised me I'll always have something to eat. May not be what I want, but I'll have something to eat. He promised me that. Now, before you say amen to that, if you're too hungry to work, he'll let you starve to death right over in that corner. That's Bible too. They don't work, don't feed them. That's Bible.
Jesus will never leave you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake thee.
I've left Jesus a few times.
He's never left me.
Amen.
My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and to make our abode with him. A couple more points this morning. This is one of my favorite verses. Jesus has gone to prepare heaven for me. Not everybody reads this verse the way I do, and it, you know, it doesn't bother me. But God said in John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now let's look at the language of that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, it's like you go down the Smoky Mountains or Florida or wherever you go, and you don't have reservations. Hey, do you have any rooms open? And they'll say, yes or no. Well, Jesus told me, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I told you. But notice, I'd go to prepare a place for you. I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I love the song, I'm satisfied with a little cottage down here, you know. Because God has got a mansion for me up there. But all of those mansions are not for me. I'm part of his church. And he's gone to prepare a place for me. He's gone to prepare a place for me. Now, I haven't had this opportunity much, but, you know, when I worked for IBM and I went several places, and when they fixed supper for us, man, I was, you know, it was first class. You know, I look at all of those forks and I'm saying, man, how many forks do you need? You know, how many spoons do you need? So I just watched somebody that looked like they knew what they were doing. And when they picked up that fork, I picked up mine. You know, I'm not used to that. A mansion I'd be satisfied with. But God said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. You know where that place is at? That is where I will be with my Lord 24/7 if there's a time base up there. I'm not the one that is going to go in and out. It's too deep for me to get too far in that in a minute. But I believe in a bride, and I believe in a Baptist bride. And I want to be in that bride. And he told me there's many mansions up there that I've gone to prepare a place for you. Jesus will reward you for faithfulness. God said in Luke 6:23, your reward is great in heaven. Now, I mean, what could that verse mean? Your reward is great in heaven. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I've come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his what shall be? Work. Now, I don't see how you can look at that verse and say there's not degrees of places in heaven, because there is. Amen. Well, God loves everybody alike. Have you heard about John? God loved John more than the other disciples because John loved him more than the other disciples. Everybody tells me in my family, you know, you got a favorite of your three kids. And I always say, no, I don't. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Because my oldest daughter loves me and loves her mother, and she tries to prove it every day of her life. You know, we know when somebody loves us. They don't do something to expect something. They don't do something to expect something. As we close, it's been a blessed opportunity just to tell you about my friend. And I hope he may become your friend. I mean, it's wonderful for him to be your Savior, but to be your Lord and Savior and your number one friend. You know, a friend is somebody that they can come to your house and say, I need to talk to you. And no matter what you're doing, you don't have anything to do. You're there. That's the way Christ is. And as we close, John 5:39 says, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. People say, Pastor, I'd like to know more about Jesus than read his autobiography. Got a friend over on the lake that every time he sees me, he said, have you started your autobiography yet? He said, you can't be a pastor for 50 years and not have enough to write 2 or 3 books. They would be all about my friend, Jesus Christ. He's my friend. Don't ever take a friend for granted. John 20:31 said, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Our love letters. These are poems. These are testimonies. These are laws that tells us how to live. And life, as our song leader prepared to come, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Then God tells us a few verses down in the same book, Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please him. And then Paul tells us in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if you don't have faith, don't blame God. He's not he doesn't refuse to give you faith because he doesn't like you. He just tells you if you want faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Just like the surgery I mentioned. Oh, they've gone so far. I mean, it's advanced so far. When I had my surgery, the doctor said, some surgeons are doing that surgery as outpatient, doing certain kind of heart surgery on adults as outpatient. You know, when I was growing up, we had one big old family Bible. Kids didn't have their own Bible. Now, I've got a King James Bible on about every kind of thing you can imagine. Old cassette tape, Brother Tom gave it to me. CD, MP3,
got every one of the translations almost. Even got one when I get sad, I take it out and read it. And, you know, and Matt gave that to me. I don't know why. It's a comic book. But my point is, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.